I almost felt like Aaron's the other day. After this, what can I say? Holy Spirit says, there's something more. In me, there's something more. Yourself today. Come touch our hearts. Give us an understanding of your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Doc, will you please pass it on so that everybody can have a look at it? That's a simple vase. What do you say it in English? Vase. Vase. Thank you very much, my English literate friend. If we look at last Sunday, the last 3 weeks, Aaron was preaching on love. And the emphasis and the importance of his love for us, Jesus' love for us, and our love for him. But then came my friend Seelan, and he preached on faith. Now, faith, and the focus on it was the faith we have in the Savior and not the things. Sometimes we can put our focus on things and not on him. He is the God of the things. If we trust him, he will do whatever we desire. Now, today, the Lord gave me a word, and this word is, there is power in the blood of Jesus. If you really know what the power of the blood of Jesus is and where it all started, then we will have a different understanding of what Jesus came to do. Now, what he came to do here on earth is, it's all started with a question. And that question was written in Isaiah chapter 8. But after that question, there was a decision. Someone had to make a decision on the question that God asked. Now, God asked the question, and I heard a voice of the Lord, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Who was talking in the beginning and who was answering at the end? At the beginning we see, I heard the voice of the Lord. And if you look at the Greek translation, you see that is God himself asking the question, who shall I send and who will go for us? And Jesus, that was sitting in the throne room of God next to him, said, I will go. Just send me. Because if we read through the Old Testament, we see that in the Old Testament, there was the tradition of a lamb that's supposed to be slaughtered, and that blood, by repentance or buy back from the Satan, this that was stolen. Now, Jesus said, the decision Jesus made wasn't only a decision like in, I will go. But when he said, I will go, send me, he knew what he was supposed to do. He knew that he will come to this earth to become a man and be slaughtered like an animal. But when we read the Bible, we just see, just send me, Lord. When we read the Bible, we see it is sort of watering down. But the thing is, if we look at Jesus, what he came to do, he was the perfect lamb to be slaughtered. I don't think it was a very easy decision. I can ask the question, I think I can ask it for everyone, even Dennis towards his wife. Are you able, or will you be able, to die for the one next to you? Do you love that person so much that you will die? That you will go through all that hardship, all that, whatever Jesus went through, so that that person can get free? There's an old story of a king. He had a treasure room, and this king, with his treasure room, the treasurer said, my king, someone is stealing from the treasure room. We have to stop this. And he said, this noble king said, okay, the person who's stealing, if you are caught out, you'll get 20 lashes. Now, 20 lashes is just 20 lashes with a whip. What they call it, that, I don't know. I wasn't there. I was sick in bed with flu. So, but that 20 lashes was a good enough hiding. But still, this person, or this one that was stealing, kept on stealing and didn't mind this 20 lashes. And then the treasurer came back to the king and he said, but king, there's still someone stealing. He said, okay, then we'll do it 40 lashes. Now, if we read the Bible in the Old Testament, 40 lashes is the death penalty. That's why they gave Jesus 39. Just before he died, they hang him on the cross just to humiliate him further. But 40 lashes are supposed to be a death penalty. And they caught the king's daughter with her hand in the cookie jar, so to speak. She was the person who stole all the gold out of this treasury. And they brought this king's daughter in front of him and said, and in front of the whole community, and said, listen, she's the one who stole from you. And you proclaimed it. You said, this is the law. 40 lashes, so death penalty. And so he stood there and he was weeping. They put her over a barrel and they gave the command, rip open her back so that we can give the lashes. So they ripped open her shirt or blouse or whatever they call it, and they start, he said, now you can do it. And the king stood up and he went And he laid over his daughter. And he ripped open his shirt. And he said, I'll take it for my daughter. That was what Jesus came to do for me and for you. Doesn't matter who you are. You're not such a nice guy. I thought I was. But after I got married with my wife, I saw I'm not this nice guy. So God revealed stuff in me that I didn't know that existed. Let us read the mandate Jesus came to earth for. And that mandate is written up in Luke 4, verse 18 to 19. We're going to look at the scripture as such, and then we look at the Greek translation from the dictionary. Now, that scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He was reading in the tabernacle, in the synagogue. He was reading there, and this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, let us read it as it is written in the Greek translation. I'll translate the words. When he said, in some other scriptures or other translations, he used the word, when he used the word, proclaim the good news, that's proclaim the gospel. Now, the gospel is good news. To the poor, if we look at that word poor, in Greek it says the beggar. Now you can say, but I'm not poor, and I'm not a beggar. But if we look at further on in the New Testament, we see that the doctor will not come out for someone that is not sick. Is that the truth? God said he sent his son because we are sick. We are beggars. We are poor. This sentence, this whole sentence, the good news to the poor, this whole sentence means he came to straighten out circumstances to those in need. And I will be the first one to step out to say, I'm in need. Now, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted is, in the dictionary, the one who's shattered in mind or feelings or lost and in a bad space. Now, when you looked at that vase, some places it's not so bad, it's not so cracked, it's not so shattered, it's not bad at all. If you look at it from one side, it's got a nice lint around it. It's very nice. But you turn it around and you see all the cracks. And that's how people all around us are full of cracks. Not necessarily cracks that we can see, but cracks of yesterday. Cracks of a life or decisions of yesterday. Now, to preach deliverance. That means pardon or freedom. Do you want to be free? Yes, I want to be free. He's preaching deliverance, freedom to the captives. In Greek, the captives means those who are in prison in their minds, their spirit, or their body. I bet there is people here today that is bounded and wounded in their spirit, in their mind, or in their body. Then he said, and recovering of sight to the blind. Greek translation says, it heals or restores blindness, not only physical blindness, but spiritual blindness as well. To set at liberty, give freedom, forgiveness, remission, and deliverance. Them that are bruised, broken, cracked, and shattered, wrecked, like this vase. Luke 4:19 says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to put a stamp of approval, to put a stamp of approval on my life. And that is what Jesus came to do, to put a stamp of approval on our lives. This is what he came to do. In Matthew 1 verse 21, it says, she will bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now you might say, but I'm a Christian, I haven't got sins. Matthew 12:21 says, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. Who's the Gentiles? We're not Jews, so we are Gentiles. So he came for us. He came for us to set us free. What did the Bible tells us in John 3:16? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. If we read John 3:16, we read of a father, the father's heart. He said, God so loved the world. He loved us so much. He loved us so much that he said, I'll pardon them and I'll lay down and I'll take the lashes. But his father's heart for us, when we still were murderers, when we still drunkards, fornicators, thieves, prostitutes, slanderers, and still filthy liars, bound in our sin and far from wanting to be free. And now you can put up your hand and say, listen, I wasn't a murderer. I wasn't a slanderer. I wasn't a fornicator or a prostitute or a liar. But let me tell you something. The Bible tells me, if you say to your brother, you're a fool, you murdered your brother, so I am a murderer, saved by the blood of Jesus. If you looked at someone with lustful thoughts, you were a fornicator. I was there. Doesn't matter how you want to sugarcoat it. But God's word said, He came to set the captives free. If you're still in a prison, and that prison doesn't have to have bars that people can see, that prison is full of the hurt of yesterday, of your decisions you made yesterday. The decisions that put you in that prison. But when He said on the cross, the last words that He said, Tetelestai. That was the Greek for it is finished. What was finished? He paid the price in full. He paid for my, all my sins, all your sins, all your hurt, all whatever you have in your past. He died there for. And He said, it is finished. It is done. Now, the question you may ask, what was finished? In verse 17, John 3:17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. You cannot be saved through a church. You cannot be saved through whatever you believe. I am a sinner, but Jesus saved me by His dying on the cross for me. 3:18 says, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. But now people read, some congregations read that scripture and say, well, I believe, so I can live the way I do. I can live however I want to. But that's not what Jesus intends to come and do. He came to set the captive free. Whatever your thoughts or your desires or your decisions was in the past, He came to cancel that so that you can be free. He has the authority and the ability to cleanse, to clean, to redeem, to protect, and to heal, and to reconcile us with God. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. That was His grace that saved us. His blood and by His grace. Romans 5:9 says, here you are. Since therefore we have now been justified by the blood, by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. We were once saved by the blood of Jesus, but that blood and the Holy Spirit that He sent afterwards saved us and will keep us saved as long as we keep ourselves in His Word. We cannot live with whatever we do and do whatever we do and knowing that Jesus wants us to be free. What did his blood do for me and for you? His blood was the ultimate act that makes things right between God and us. He, Jesus, was the link between God and us. And he said, "It is finished. I did it all. Everything you sent me to do, I did." Those who believe, they say, they say they receive all its benefits in trusting in Jesus by faith. I believe that I received all that benefits. The benefits that Jesus came for me and for you. By implication, it means that to have faith in the finished work on the cross, to live and worship live a life of worship and gratitude by giving him full control of my life. Are we giving him full control of our lives? Or is there still something that I put away not for him to touch? It gives spiritual assurance to us believers that our salvation is grounded in something powerful, more powerful than anything else, not in our own efforts. How many times did I try to stop? Let me mention a stupid thing. Stop smoking. How many times? And then it didn't work. Why? Because it's my own effort. But when I ask God, "Please, Lord, save me, cleanse me, wash me with your blood in this area of my life," it just stopped. There was no hunger for it anymore. In prayer and declaration that it is finished, tetelestai, it is done, you believe it has real spiritual effect in your life. When you believe it, you receive it in the name of Jesus. To live in a holy and a moral transformed life, that's what the Bible tells us. Holy and transformed life. Live every day from day to day because we are cleansed and redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Believers are called to live in holiness. What is holiness? Holiness is 180 degrees turn from our filthy ways and start walking in his way. Avoiding sin as an appreciation response to the gift of eternal life. Now we have to be accountable to one another. I cannot go around and do whatever I do, but Sunday I'm putting on another face. But during the week, I'm a different person. We're not puppets. We have to recognize the Holy Spirit in our lives and walk according to it, according to the Spirit's prompting in our spirit to be obedient to what he asks us to do. What does it mean for me and you? You can be forgiven. Whatever the case may be, murderer, slanderer, fornicator, prostitute, liar, doesn't matter what, God will forgive you today because he said, "It is finished." You don't have to carry the past. You don't have to carry all that hurt, all that things that you have done in the past. You don't have to carry that. Just come so that He can cleanse you, that He can heal you, that He can do a new work in your life. And then, when that is done, you can be accepted by God. You can be accepted by God into the family of God. And to be some people, church people, say, you know, I didn't talk to my father in 20 years. I didn't have a relationship with my mother. I haven't got, but you know what? He said, I'll give you a new family. I'll give you a new brother, a new sister, a new mother, a new father. You can be free. You can have hope and confidence in tough times. Doesn't matter if things go wrong. Just 2 hours ago, hour and a half, 2 hours ago, I had an accident with a car. And I know He's with me. He's with me because He says He gives me confidence in tough times. He's walking with me, knowing that I've got spiritual backing, knowing that I've got people who's praying for me, knowing that I've got people who loves me. You're invited to change. The power of the blood of Jesus is not only for past forgiveness, but to help you understand the way forward and help you to walk the walk, not only talk the talk. There's so many people that talk Christianese so very much and so very good. By talking or speaking Christianese doesn't make you a Christian. But to walk the walk with Jesus, knowing that I am free because He made me free. He set me free. Let us dig deep in our lives and our hearts this morning. Let's dig and look in our hearts if there's anything that looks like this. Shattered, bruised, cracked, or broken. And Jesus said, I can set you free. He is alive today. He's alive. He's here. This morning, while we were worshiping, as Jock says, I sense the Holy Spirit prompting on our hearts to say, I want to change you. I want to mend all that brokenness. I want you to come to me. While we close our eyes, Jesus said, come to me, you who are heavy laden. Come to me. Let's close our eyes. You who are brokenhearted. You who feel abandoned. You who feel trapped in yesterday's decisions. You who are feeling the brokenness of your whole existence. Come to me. Come to me. Today is the day He wants you to say, Lord, here I am. I feel broken in this and this area. I know You can heal me. Come to Him, because it is finished. the work that he has to do, it is finished. Revelation 12, 10 and 11 says, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, whoever or now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, who come for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accused them day and night before our God." Verse 11, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their own testimonies. For they loved not their lives even unto death." If you are here this morning and say, "I want to put up my hand, please pray for me." There's a lot of people who can pray for you. There's a lot of leaders here who can pray for you. If there's anything broken in your life, and it's not a sin to put up your hand. We're not going to laugh at you. You are here because God had an appointment with you. If there's anything broken in your life, just put up your hand and we can pray for you.